drum corps. It's just, there's something about that beat that just makes you want to go and just get right into the groove of things. And it's a good thing my back was hurting, because I'd have really made a fool of myself up here, I'm pretty sure, otherwise. And I was trying to get some of the younger ones to really just jump up and get into it too, and they were restraining themselves. I could tell. They were like, I got to sit in my seat, but I'm still moving. But there is something about a drum corps, isn't it? The drum line is just so distinct and unique, and it's just that something about that sharp rapping of all these different kinds of drums that are together in unison. And the drum corps was always my favorite part of a marching band for some reason. I mean, I remember growing up as a young boy and being at a high school football game or watching the local parade and at my grandma's house, because they were on the parade route, and hearing the various horns and woodwinds in the distance of the band, and they were entering the field or maybe coming up the street in the distance, and getting really excited because I knew that the drum line was coming too. And just waiting for that moment when they would kind of just stop for a little bit, and you hear this break in the music, and all of a sudden, and they would just start up, and it was just an awesome time. So I'd get excited for it, and it just made you want to dance. And I could tell that every one of you felt the same way in here, because the whole thing was moving. Now, we all like a marching band, and the drum line especially, but the whole band is impressive, but that's what stuck out to me, was the marching band. For some reason, that was my favorite part all the time. Did you know, though, that you, all of us, in fact, have sort of a drum section inside of you? You do. I mean, most of us have probably heard of the idea of marching to the beat of a drum when it comes to working through life, right? We've heard of that. And we've even maybe known some people who maybe marched to the beat of a different drum. The people that are kind of breaking new ground, doing some really exciting things, or maybe they're just a little different. Who knows? But they march to the beat of a different drum. But every single one of us, whether we understand it or not, or whether we think about it or not, just like the drum line, we march to the beat of a drum. And we have something or someone that sort of sets the pace in our hearts and in our souls and for our lives. And that drum beat that we listen to that sets that pace is there every day. It's going on. Now, you might not even be aware of it, but it's there. It drives you. It moves you. Have you ever thought about it in those terms, or maybe in something else? I mean, at least what it is that drives you, whatever it is that gives you a movement to your life, what it is that you just march to? Have you thought about that before? That's a question I think we should all be wrestling with on a pretty consistent basis. We should be doing that often, because we want to do that so we can be sure that we're marching to the beat of the drum that we want to be marching to, and not being pulled along or pushed through that something that is keeping us from God's will or pushing us out of God's will in that way. So reflection on things like this is important, to know what drives us, what sets the rhythm of our souls, to make sure that we're going in the direction we really want to go. Now, there's a lot of things that can set the drumbeat of our hearts. And some of them can be good for us, and some of them can maybe be not so good for us. Sometimes even the good things, if they get out of proportion, can be harmful and detrimental to the joy that God has in mind for our lives. The things that can set our drumbeats could just be about anything. Maybe it's a major childhood trauma or event. Maybe it's an insecurity about our value and our worth. Maybe it's a need to be right all the time or to get even. Maybe it's even something that's good, like it could be humility or a desire to serve others. Maybe it's something not so great, like a desire that's struggling always for wealth and prestige. It could be a belief that abandoning any task that we're doing, no matter how unsuccessful it's been going, is just to fail out and just be considered a big failure. It could be seeking after a good retirement, whatever we think that looks like. It could be seeking God and wanting His kingdom to be built. It could be a victim stance, always feeling like you get the short end of the stick. Or it could be competition with a sibling, a friend, or a neighbor, or a family member. The list goes on and on. There, as long as there are unique individuals on this earth who have unique life experiences, the sources of our drumbeats are always going to be unique. We are all going to have different ones that drive us. And whatever that is for us, it shows when people take a look at us. They can see sometimes what it is that drives us, what moves us. It comes out clear and evident in what we say and what we do and how we act. Now, I know what things often drive me. I'd like it to be always the highest of ideals and values. I'd love it for it to be perfectly in line with God's will. But the truth is that there are a lot of times that there are other things that try to get in there and crowd that stuff out for me. And sometimes they're even successful. And so reflecting on this whole drumbeat thing, this motivations thing in our hearts, I think is important to be doing often so that we can be sure that we're getting in the right step with the right drum. Now, we've been working our way through Peter's letters over the past weeks where he's been talking about the difficulties and struggles of what it is of the life of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And here, as we get started into chapter 4 today, he seems to turn a little bit of a corner. He begins to talk about how to remain strong in spite of those realities in our lives. How do we keep moving forward? How do we set the pace of our lives? And he gives four perspectives, or maybe we could call them drumbeats, that we need to tune into that will motivate, encourage, and equip us to be strong in living out the difficult realities of the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. So let's read this together this morning. I've asked Greta to read for us, and if you turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter 4, 1 through 6, and get there, because we'll be spending most of our time there this morning. So 1 Peter 4, 1 through 6, and Greta, would you read that for us this morning?
Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge in with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit.
Thank you, Greta. So did you hear the drum beats in there? Did you catch them? Let's take a look at them. I think the first drum beat that we need to tune into in order to be encouraged and equipped for the life of following Jesus is to tune into the drum beat of the attitude of Jesus. I mentioned it right in there. It says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves in the same way of thinking. Or the version that Greta read this morning, arm yourselves in the same attitude. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, I love that Peter gives us a very clear direction into what he's speaking about all the time. It says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, and that's obviously pointing back to the message that we worked through last week, that Jesus suffered, the righteous for the unrighteous. He suffered for us, right? And Peter goes on to say that since Jesus did that for us, we should go forward in our lives with that same attitude of humble submission to the will of his Father. The same attitude that Jesus demonstrated for us in that terrifyingly horrible, beautiful act of going to the cross and dying for our sins. He says, think in the same way that Jesus thought as he went to the cross. Jesus had come to seek and to save the lost. He loved people. He got involved with people, especially the kind of people that most church folks in those days wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. And not only did he love them, and not only did he get involved with them, but he sacrificially gave himself for them. The righteous for the unrighteous. If we're going to make any difference in this world today, it's not going to be through political activism. It's not going to be through demonstrations. It's not going to be through perfect preaching or teaching. It's not even going to come through huge campaigns that aid a certain cause. Now, those things aren't necessarily bad things. Maybe they're even necessary at times. They can be good things. But Jesus was clear with his teaching and his actions that those things aren't what will change this world. They aren't what will build God's kingdom. What will turn this world upside down and what will build God's kingdom is a completely countercultural way of life that says we sacrificially give of ourselves to those around us. We willingly endure suffering that we do not deserve. We go places and we love people where love is not present. We have to have the attitude of Christ in order to do that, don't we? We can't do that in our own power. We have to put ourselves aside. Now, you might say, you know, Nate, I'm doing pretty well. I mean, I do what I can. I try to give. I try to witness. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. I try to live a good life. And that's all well and good. But if it's not costing us what it cost Jesus, then we're not doing what we're called to do. We have to put ourselves aside, die to ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. Now, notice Peter is even using military terminology here. He's saying, arm yourself with the attitude of Christ. Arm yourselves. That's fighting words, right? This is a battle that Peter's talking about here. There are thousands of other things that want to come in and crowd out those things that you should be listening to, the drum beats that you should be tuning into. And they want to take over the territory of first drummer in your soul. Things like power and lust and significance and money and safety and work and relationships. So many more try to break in, and they're on the offensive trying to steal that slot in your life. And the attitude of Christ is a weapon that we can pick up and arm ourselves with to keep those things from crowding into that space and overtaking what is rightfully his. Timothy says something similar in chapter 2 of his second letter. It says, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You know, if we really want to make a difference in our households, in our neighborhoods, in our community, and in our world, this is the very first and biggest step that we have to take. We need to arm ourselves with the attitude of Jesus. So much of our world tells us, you know what, you do you. Be yourself. Chase after your heart, right? Trust in yourself. But Jesus, the Son of God, emptied himself. That was his example to us. He came and lived on this earth a sinless life, knowing that he would be beaten and hung on a cross for billions and billions of people, most of whom would reject him in spite of what he did for them. It is in those places and in those moments where we let the drumbeat of the attitude of Christ turn into action. That is where the glory of God is revealed. And so we have to arm ourselves to put on the attitude of Christ as a constant loop, drumbeat in our minds and in our hearts. That we put that on and we make that drumbeat the first chair, right? That's the first one in our souls. That has to be it. Next, Peter says, I need to turn into the drumbeat of the will of God for my life. It says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Peter says we are to stop living for our human passions and to start living for the will of God. And if we truly have the attitude of Christ in first chair, setting the pace of the drumline of our souls, then this will be the natural outflow of that, because Jesus lived to do the will of his Father. And it's no secret, though, that we are constantly being pulled to live and think and behave like the world lives, thinks, and behaves. There's a constant desire and pull to let our heart and the desires of our heart to call the shots in our lives, whatever those desires may be. And maybe you're wondering, you know, how can I truly know God's will for my life? Well, there are some pretty easy non-negotiables. And when I say easy, I don't mean they're easy to do, but they're easy to see. They're very clear and they're very evident for God's will for his children. For instance, every believer is to study the Word of God. That's the primary source of the revelation of his will for the life of a believer. Every believer is to give of their time and their talent and their treasure to the work of God's kingdom. Every believer is to live in a way where we are allowing Holy Spirit to mature us and to grow us to be more like his Son, Jesus. Every believer is to share the good news of the gospel with and what it has done to change our lives with those that we encounter, those that are in our circle of influence. And every believer is to get connected with a family of believers for encouragement, for growth, for outreach, and for fellowship. Those are things that every believer is explicitly told to do, and that is the will of God for them. That is explicit in God's word for us. They're non-negotiable. And when we make those things to be negotiable or as less important, it's no wonder we easily get blown off course and we wonder what God's will is for our lives. But that's the starting point. When we're diligent in those things, God will absolutely make clear to us what we need to know in order to carry out His will for our lives. There's no question that He'll do that. He's not going to watch us searching for His will and laugh and chuckle and say, I'm going to hide it over here and just make you try to find it. He's not that kind of God. He doesn't play tricks with it. He's a good God. Even in good humor, He's not going to do that. He's going to make His will known for you if you do the basics. He's a good God, and He's absolutely going to share that with us, what He has in mind for our lives, what His will is. But we have to do the basics to find out His will. And Peter says we need to be in tune with that drumbeat, the will of God, so that we can continue to build that connection and so that we're focused on the things that God has in mind for us. Thirdly, he says, I have to tune into the drumbeat of my new life in Christ. You know, for the time that has passed suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you, but they will give account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Peter says here, don't forget, you are not who you once were. You're not who you once were. Before we accepted Christ as our Savior and Lord, we lived to please only ourselves. Yes, there were people and causes and things that we cared about. We didn't just focus in only on ourselves, but our ultimate goals and the movement of our drumbeat of our souls was all about us. It was all about our kingdom, our little area of this world. And these things that Peter lays out here is just a short list of all the kinds of things that we did as we lived to satisfy our sinful nature. Now, of course, some people and some of these things are bigger in our lives than others, but the point Peter is making is clear. You know, where once we were guided by our desire to please ourselves only, for those who truly have submitted themselves to Jesus, now our desire is to see His kingdom come to bear on this world, not our kingdom be blessed in it. Our desire has changed from me-focused to focused on Him, from my kingdom to His kingdom. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. When Christ paid the debt of our sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, we became God's children. And if that's what happened when we received Him, then how could we not want this for our lives? How could we prefer to just keep on doing what we were doing? Or worse, to ignore the reality of what we say has happened in our hearts when we made Jesus Lord of our lives? Will we still struggle with sin after we become a believer? Yeah, we will. Of course, nobody is perfect until Jesus comes back. But should that stuff be what drives us? Should that stuff be the motivation of our life, the drumbeat of our souls? No, absolutely not. It should not be what we want to listen to make us march. But when we make excuses for ourselves, or we blatantly choose our sinful desires over what we know God's will is for us, that's exactly what we're doing, isn't it? We're living as unredeemed people, as if we're no different for what Jesus has done in our lives. And if you are a believer, that is not who you are anymore. You are redeemed. You are free. Now, some people might think, you know, I'm kind of enjoying this stuff, though. It's not that bad. And you look at the rest of the world, and what I'm doing isn't hurting anybody. I'm just having a little fun. I'll work on this stuff later on. But that's not what somebody who understands the reality of the work that Jesus did for them on the cross and then the reality of the depth of their sin says. People who know that don't say that, and they don't act like that. Peter tells us, don't go back to that lifestyle of bowing to your own desires. Don't go back there, living for yourself. You've spent enough time there. You've been there long enough. You were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, so it's time to live like that is your reality. And if that is not your reality today, If that's not who you are, it's not too late to change that. God can clean you up and make your life new. He can give you a reason to live that is beyond your own little kingdom. All you have to do is believe that he lived on this earth and was killed and rose in victory over death as payment for your sin. Believe that in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. We know that from Romans 10:9 that says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So don't wait. Don't go back for one more night of that stuff for old time's sake or for nostalgic purposes. Accept him today and let me or another mature believer know so that we can help you. We can encourage you along in that walk. Because it's a difficult walk. It's not easy. Because when we trust God for that, we are safe in him forever. And all of God's judgment of our sin was poured out over Jesus. And his perfect sacrifice protects us and our lives like the ark protected Noah in the flood judgment. So we have to tune into the beat of the drum of our new lives in Jesus Christ. And finally, Peter says we need to tune into the drumbeat of the genuine hope and reality of eternal life. He says in verse 6, for this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. God is good. God is righteous. He is trustworthy. He is able. And he promised to those who trust in him that through death we will overcome sin and we will overcome the struggles of this life. We will be protected from the final judgment and we will enter heaven being made perfect through Jesus Christ. Now, in our culture today, we don't like to talk much about death. We sanitize it and clean it up. We use flowery words when we talk about it. They've passed on. They're no longer with us. We do those kinds of things. And yeah, there are some people who try to glorify death these days with the vampire and zombie stuff. But even that stuff seems to be a way to try to attempt to deal with the questions that we have about death. You know, we have a lot of questions and we have a lot of fears surrounding death. And I think even that glorification of it is maybe an attempt to try to deal with all that stuff. Because we just don't deal well with death. And that's really understandable because apart from God's word, we know very little about what happens after death. You know, we see what happens to someone's body when they die, but we all have this sort of innate understanding that there's more to us than just a body, that there's more of us than that, that there's something that lives on. And we don't know much about anything, really, apart from God's word, about what happens to that more bit of us, right? We know our bodies decay. We just don't know what happens to the rest of us apart from God's word. And so these fears and this lack of understanding are not exclusive to us here on earth today. People back in Peter's time when he wrote this had all sorts of ideas about what might happen to people once they die. And judging by the practices that their culture had around that time, they were just as fearful as we were, maybe even more so, because they did everything they possibly could to try to ensure that their loved one would have a good afterlife, is what they kind of called it. They pulled out all the stops. They spent enormous time and preparation and effort and human capital, even wealth, to make this happen. But Peter's point here in verse 6 is that for believers, those who are under the protection and the covering of Jesus' blood, even though there is unjust treatment in this life, and even though there is pain and suffering, including death, we should fear none of that stuff. Because the worst thing that death can do to us is that it brings us triumphantly into eternal communion with Jesus Christ, with a heavenly God. And that is an amazing reality. That's the worst that death can do to us. Just as Jesus was crucified, but alive in the Spirit and was raised from the dead, those who trust in him will suffer physical death, but our spirits will remain alive and enter into the promise of eternal life. So there is nothing that can steal that from us. No pressures from the enemy, no unjust persecution, no pain, no hurt. Nothing can separate us from that true hope and reality of life in heaven with God forever. Nothing can separate us from that. If we're going to arm ourselves for this life and be successful for God in God's sight, then we need to be tuning in and marching to the beat of the right drums. The attitude of Jesus, the will of God, our new lives in Him, and the hope of eternity in heaven with God. And so this week, in your time with Him, take some of that time each day and reflect on what the drum beats are in your life, what they really are. You know, ask God to clearly and show you honestly what those drum beats are. And if those drum beats that Peter calls us to today have gotten further and further from your core, maybe you haven't listened to them for a while, then it's time to search them out. Time to tune into them again and find them. If you reflect on this and maybe you're not even sure what drums that you've been following, or maybe you've done some reflecting on this and you find that the stuff that you're following looks great on the outside, but on the inside it's hollow and empty, it's a farce, that there's no substance to it. If that's you, then it's time to take stock of your life today and say, you know, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Does my life reflect that reality? Is it really the identity I live with, the drumbeat that I march to, or am I following a different drum major? And maybe if it's you that you've never made the choice to truly surrender to the drumbeats in your life that Peter is describing here, the attitude of Jesus and the will of God for your life, your new life in Christ, and the reality of hope eternally with God in heaven. If that's not you, if you've never listened to those drumbeats and surrendered to them, then maybe it's time to think about repenting and turning to Him and making those your drumbeats. If that doesn't, you know, if repenting of everything you know, then it doesn't line up with God's best for you, and it's time to make Him Lord of your life. Commit to humbly obeying Him. Because if that's where you're at today, you should know there's a lot at stake for you. Peter is reminding us here that each of us will give an account before God. And if we're not found to be absolutely perfect, we don't get to be in heaven with Him, because God can't let any imperfection into heaven. If He lets even just a little bit of imperfection into heaven, it won't be perfect anymore. It has to be perfection that goes with Him there. So the only way we can be found perfect that day is if we do that, if we repent of our sins, we trust and believe on Jesus Christ and ask Him to cover us like the ark covered Noah in the flood judgment. I mean, church membership and baptism, doing lots of good things in the world, trying your best to be a good person, that's all good stuff, but none of that has the power that Peter is talking about that is needed here. None of that has the power to make us perfect. Only Jesus does. Would you turn to Him today and listen to His drumbeats? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we have listened to drumbeats that are not of You. There are so many things in this world that try to crowd out who You are, the reality of Your love for us, the reality of Your truth for us. Lord, help us to seek those things over the things of this world. When those other drumbeats try to get in and crowd out who You are, Lord, help us to see that, to recognize that. And if we can't do it ourselves, put other people in our path to call us out on it and help us to listen to them, Lord, that we might return to You, the only thing that we can trust, the only thing that we can truly rely on, the only thing that is real truth. Lord, help us to tune into You and Your drumbeats to guide and direct us as Peter calls us to do here. In Jesus' name, amen.